This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro, a late night episode of the Saints Block Party podcast coming at you. We apologize. A little technical difficulties. Also apologize for doing this so late, but this is what the job, this is what happens when we have full-time jobs. It is what it is. So thank y'all for being with us, but we knew we had to put something out in regards to OTAs. It was Saints OTAs today, day one. Like, we have to talk about it. And so here we are. Don't know how long this is going to go because it's 11:45 where Ryan is, and it's 9:45. Excuse me.
I got enough sleep, damn
it. But we have quite a bit to talk about in terms of Saints happenings or Saints actual football news. I think maybe before we get into those things, just a thing about the training camp stuff in Irvine, man. Here's where I fall on it, right? I would have just preferred them just come out and say, you know what? You know, this is a huge season for us as an organization. It's very important. We want to be focused and dialed in. We may open a couple of, you know, a few practices up to fans in California to come out and support us. But, you know, we're going to be like, would you have gotten like raked over the coals of being the one of team of like 32 that are not having fans at training camp? Yes. But at least you're honest. But like the whole like lying about it thing and like talking about like the logistics and like it'd be difficult. And then like that is like a verifiable thing that is just not true. Like it is just factually not true. You look like imbeciles is really what it is. Like you really come across looking like imbeciles. And we've seen so many people today talking about like, it just this kind of slap in the face to the fan base and like this, like you have something to hide. And I just go back to this. If you are so worried about what fans may see at a training camp practice with Dennis Allen and with Derek Carr, how are you going to go into Kansas City and beat the defending world champion Chiefs in KC during the season with white fans doing the tomahawk, bro? Like it's just a very like weak-minded mentality. It's stuck in my craw, man. It's just really stuck in my craw.
I just don't get it. I don't understand the mindset, because that should be on the bullet points when setting up a out of state training camp. It's like, okay,
come on, bro.
How do we accommodate fans? That's like part three on the bullet points. You know, logistics, moving stuff, hotel stays. Fan accommodation. That's like, it's not a secondary choice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and the thing is,
a multi-billion dollar business. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
And we've seen them do it before at Greenbrier, bro. Like, it's not like they're new to this.
They did it at Oxnard. So I don't want to hear nothing about, well, we don't know if we got a fan base out in Cali. Oxnard. It's packed out there.
Stop lying to us, man. Stop playing
like we stupid. That's what I don't like. Don't play with us. Like Mickey Loomis. It's like the whole Mickey Loomis, the economics. You know, the economics has changed. Stop acting like we're dumb, bro. Stop it. We're not stupid.
Please.
The Saints fans are not stupid. We might be irrational. We might be hot-headed. All kind of things. Stupid ain't one thing.
Ain't one of them.
I don't agree with this, man.
It's insulting. It's insulting. So just don't. Yeah, Dante said, don't piss my leg and tell me it's raining. Like, please don't. Said,
Dante please be don't. Coming with them. Dante be coming with them old Negro spiritual advice. Boy. He be dropping that knowledge, bro.
Bro, I love Dante. I'm excited as hell that he'll be able to hopefully get to. It sounds like for sure he's going to be able to come to like the big meetup, the Atlanta Falcons game, November 10th. So let me make an announcement about that. So if you are intending to come to the big meetup, the Falcons Saints game, the third annual Saints Block Party podcast big meetup, we are trying to go in and have a block of rooms for people who are coming to the event. Was able to find an amazing rate for good hotel, great location. So if that is something that you're wanting to do, be on the lookout. The Patreon link to fill out a Google Sheets in terms of, you know, want a double bed, single bed, if you're willing to share the room, not willing to share the room, all that. Because if we're trying to do this, I want to get the 15 rooms like locked in and get that rate locked in, because it really is a stellar deal. So it's in the Discord, it's going out on Patreon. So that's something that we have in the works as well. What else is there? We already have the venue booked for the meetup already. Like we make moves. So let's talk about OTAs, and I'll start with you. Where do you want to start with the news that came out of the first OTAs that was open to the media today?
I mean, we got to start with the offensive line, right? That's the story of the offseason. Got to start there, right?
We do. Quick funny thing. On TikTok, it does this thing that it reminds you of things that you posted to TikTok the year before. I posted to TikTok a year before talking about how Trevor Penning was like the key in terms of if the Saints offensive line could be good to great, bro. We are having the same goddamn conversation a year later, bro. Like, this is Groundhog Day, Ryan.
Time is a flat circle, man. We are back. We are back here.
So the start, I should have pulled this up. Starting offensive line in OTAs, so it's one of those things where you don't reach too much into it, but also maybe read some into it. Left tackle, you have the rookie Tali Fuaga. You had Nick Saliverde. Saliverde at left guard. He was there. He's six. DA's not saying we don't know what we have on him. He was actually... left guard, it was twitching out with Shane made-up player. Eric McCoy, obviously at center. Cesar Reese at right guard. And Trevor Penning at right tackle. If you were in the Discord, you know, I may have dropped, even before the OTAs came out today, I may have dropped a, maybe like a nugget saying that the whole Fuaga thing during rookie minicamp of him being at left tackle may be more of a permanent thing. Like, it wasn't. Here's the thing, bro. When I saw that they had put him at left tackle in rookie minicamp, I knew something was up. I'm not dumb, Ryan. I knew something was up, bro. it made no sense to just put that. So I've even have come to more terms of like, listen, I like the fact that at least they haven't completely given up on Trevor Penning and they're trying to see if he's able to do something. I was very encouraged by the interview that John Benton, the new offensive line coach, did. That's on YouTube. The Saints YouTube account put it out there. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Listening to that, talking about, like, yeah, we want to be bullies, but also we want to teach these guys about angles, about how to do a pill block, how to do a cutoff block. Like, I'm getting, like, excited. Like, what? I am cautiously optimistic about the offensive line. That's the best term I can describe it as, is cautiously optimistic.
No, I'm there with you. This sounds like they brought in the people that know what they're talking about. Sounds like Benton and Denison and all those guys, they're real familiar with the talent we have, and they seem to have a plan, which is something that we've seemed to have lacked in, right, you know, a couple of years past. That's what it seems like. We'll see, you know. And even he said, like, look, we'll see. Like, you got to play games. This is OTAs.
Right.
You know, we don't know nothing yet. You know what I'm saying? But he said Penny, the arrow's looking up on him. You know, he's healthy. He's showing up early. First healthy all season. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we'll see, man. Like, I know Penny been working with Duke Merriweather, you know, like the offensive line guru. So, like, bro, let's just give him a chance. And, you know, Denison talked about how, you know, he doesn't, like, nowadays he doesn't really see the big difference between left and right tackle as far as, like, pass rushes you face. You know, defense is going to line the pass rusher wherever the weak spot at. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be good on both sides. He talked about how they want to be an ambidextrous offense.
Man, when he said that, I got excited, bro.
You know, as far as run game, Eric McCoy talked about how, like, this is a team that fits him. Like, this is what he loves to do. He loves getting out there on the reach blocks and, you know, getting downfield, all that stuff, moving. This is what he likes to do. He's built for it. Cesar Ruiz, man, we saw a picture of him. He, like, down to 310 pounds. He looking fit. Oh. Like, look at Cesar. Like, a big fit. Like, damn, look at Cesar. So he ready to roll. And it's like, man, like, we gonna see, bro. Like, and they talked about how they want to get more of the outside runs, and Eric Coy talked about he wanted to get more perimeter runs and stuff like that. Man, with AK and Kendre, if they full go, come on, man. Come on, bro. Just saying.
Cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously.
Dante said, day one shows me we've come a long way from Pete, bro. Just give me a plan and competence, please.
And look, it's no disrespect to Pete. Pete did not want the job. Did not want the job. You know? So now you got people in there that want the job that's like, you know, really want to do this. You know what I'm saying? And it's right. Just, you can tell it's like a night and day difference where you got people, you know, and it seems like, you know, Dennis Allen knew his career is on the line, bro. Like, he got to let these dudes work, bro.
Yeah, you said it seems like, and almost made like a very, like, I guess like a allusion or a reference that I can't really make anymore. I'm about to say it. seems like the Saints are ready, but you can't say that, right? You can't say that anymore, right?
No.
Ron Bowles said, we're going to be great this year. Great coaching wins, and we have key people. Carr going to be talking like we had Del Rio coaching him. I am not. It's not lost on me that Carr and Del Rio are like this. They're like cut from the same cloth. But
come on, man. You know that. Still be texting that night.
I'm not excited yet until after week two against Dallas. Can we beat the Panthers first? No. Like,
I know. Like, dang, please don't overlook the Panthers. Please.
Think this came up in our Discord. I think maybe Dante mentioned it, and a couple of people mentioned it, of how, like, DA during his presser was just talking about, you know, like Clint Kubiak and just the way he's in the offensive line and just like the details and just really like on top of it. And it felt like it was weird because it felt like he was describing like a coach that does like everything that he like doesn't do. Like, it was weird, bro. Wayne said, man, ain't Del Rio done caught some shit on some All Lives Matters thing? Oh, Del Rio's big.
All the time.
Big, the time. Yeah. Carolina won't be a real test. Lost too much of a pass rush. I'm not doing this. We
How long have you been a Saints fan?
The scene, DA is making great moves. Look it up. Is Ron a plant?
We found them all.
Someone am I just
Brown Mexico.
Getting back to the whole, it was just weird hearing him talk about Clint Kubiak like that, because it just kind of emphasize like the things that he hasn't done in the past. Holding players
accountable and all that stuff.
I even go back to how long was it last season that we see players slipping because they were on the wrong cleats? It almost felt like 3-4 games in the season, bro. At home, they were slipping. Yeah. So like, that attention to detail stuff is like, bro, like, can whatever Clint's doing, can you do that too, please?
Head coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, head coaching is different, man. Like, that's what people get it twisted. Like, people talk about, how good would the offense be? D is good at defense. D.A. is the head coach of the
New Orleans Saints. CEO of the team.
So he has to think of things that just other coaches don't have the time or don't have the responsibility to think about. He has to think all these things fans not thinking about. He has to be thinking about all that. The strategic approach to how to go each game, the tactical approach. You know, how are we going to attack this opponent? Are we going to throw early on this opponent? Are we going to run the ball on this opponent? He has to have that focus, man. And that's what's going to make and break the season at the end of the day.
100%.
Like all this stuff about the offensive line, the offense, all that's great. But if DA isn't a head coach, like a CEO of the team that's focused on the details, that comes in each game to manage the game and dictate the game and manage late 2 minutes and getting the team prepared to be good in the first half, better in the second half, all that stuff that goes into really good head coaching, that's what's going to make or break the season.
All of that, and this is a real test this season of the DA versus good teams. Like, he's played good teams before as a head coach, but I'm saying like as a Saints head coach, even his first like rookie season, whatever, as a head coach of the Saints, he has not faced the caliber and elk that he's like facing this season on the schedule. The closest thing we saw to that was like that Ravens game, right? And that was it. Like, the Saints didn't even look like they believed, like, blown on the same field, bro. Like, at least can we show that the team belongs when they're going against Kansas City, that they belong when they're going against, like, the upper echelon teams of the league that they're going to face this season on the schedule? That is crucial. Alfred says, how do you feel about the wide receivers practicing with rugby balls? I remember the Ravens had a bad game with drops because they practiced with rugby balls. Your thoughts? I have no thoughts. Like, they're NFL wide receivers. Your job is to catch. Like, go catch. Also, the Ravens have been terrible at drafting wide receivers for the longest time until recently. So I don't know how much of that on the rugby balls, or they just didn't have the talent. DA has a terrible personality. He doesn't inspire anyone, but he is making all the right moves. Kubiak is a strong coach. He will make a big difference. Listen, Ron, we hope so. We hope so, but also ultimately DA right now is what his record is. The record is 24-46 in the NFL. Period. NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. He went 9-8 last season with one of the easiest schedules of all time. And in theory, quote unquote, the Saints have an easy schedule this year, but that's just on paper, because the schedule, if you look at the teams that they play and the quarterbacks that they play, is daunting. Like, that week 2 to week 7. Can they get 2 wins in that period, bro? Like, that's rough. That is rough. So
that will prove all the theories, whether right or wrong.
It will. Thoughts on Papa Kubiak.
We knew we was gonna see Pops up in there, man.
I liked it, bro. Like, Gary can cook. We done seen Gary cook.
Come on. Dude been in the league so long, bro, and seen it all, done it all.
Man was out here cooking with Matt Schaub, Ryan. Cooking with Matt Schaub.
It just made me think of, like, remember we used to have the joint practices with the Texans way back in the day, back in the early Drew Brees days. They'd be getting at it, fighting and all that stuff. Cushing.
Competition, bro. Just love it. Just love that competition.
Love it, man. Just, you know, I just like that the Saints have bought in, like, we talked about it many times. They are making the first legitimate change offensively in almost 20 years, and they fully bought into it. It's not like they dipping their toe in. They didn't just hire a coach and force. No, they got everybody bringing in a whole brain trust. We going to see. We going to see.
Let's transition and speak about the thing that was on your radar when the Clint Kubiak thing was even first announced. He was like, man, be interested to see Taysom in like the Kyle Juszczyk role, right? And what?
That's, hey, bro. That's my corner right there, bro.
It was, bro.
That's my corner, bro.
Ron says, we will beat Dallas. Carr always has a great game against. We. All right. Let me just go. We just talking about the offensive line like being constantly optimistic. We're going to week two with DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons, big booty bandit, and we just gonna go up and just beat Dallas week two, bro. Would we love that to happen? Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Would this pod and the recap and all of that be lit? Absolutely. I can't, what's the best team DA beat last season? Was it the Bucks? Was it the Colts? Like, right? And now we just go automatically just go and beat Dallas week two. All right, bro. All right, Ron. If you're gonna like give that type of take, can you at least give us like a super chat or something just so we can just be entertained? Like, anyway. Going back to Taysom in the Juszczyk role, that's your corner. Talk about it, because you have been on it from jump.
Man, like, if I wish I knew the dude's YouTubes, I'd give him props. But he was going deep into, you know, the Kyle Shanahan offense, 49ers, just what they do. And the first thing that you notice is how he used Kyle Juszczyk. He doesn't use him in a typical, especially lately, he doesn't use him in the typical fullback role. He uses him as kind of like a joker. He uses him to dictate matchups, not just for him, but for other players.
Players.
And to simulate, to show different personnel formations to get the defense to look how they want it to look, to make a clear picture for the quarterback.
Right.
And that's going to be huge for, you know, our intelligent quarterback, Derek Carr. So, but when I looked at him, it's like.
That was smooth.
Smooth, bro. But it's like the first thing you notice is like, damn, everything Juszczyk doing, like Taysom could do that. You know what I'm saying? Like everything. Like we've seen Taysom literally do everything, bro.
Everything.
Block on the edge, catch passes out the backfield, catch passes downfield, throw the ball, run the ball. Like, so to me, I was just thinking, like, man, I know if Clint Kubiak sits back and watches the tape of Taysom, he should be like, man, I could do something with that. I could do something with that. And to hear the reports that he was, you know, with the fullback group today, he was doing halfback stuff. He was catching passes out the backfield. I'm like, confirmation bias, baby. Confirmation bias. Please confirm my bias.
Listen, man, you said it perfectly. I don't even want to add too much, because what you just said is just what Kyle's able to do with Juszczyk in terms of maybe keeping teams in their base defenses. Right.
Exactly.
So that means for people maybe listening, I don't know what that is. Usually when you're in your base defense, depending on your team, but you have four down defensive linemen. You have sometimes, I mean, now, man, it's even rare to have three linebackers on the field, rarely, but even in base, I know it's kind of weird, but you have, in theory, it's one bigger defender on the field that's there to help play the run, as opposed to when you're in nickel, that's a secondary player that's assuming that you're going to pass, help you, defend against the pass. With Juszczyk, what he being on the field does and how Kyle utilizes that is, he, not all the time, obviously, because defensive coordinators are smart, but from time to time, it's going to keep that defense in base, which then you have a schematic offensive advantage in terms of your personnel. You can attack the defense when they're in base as opposed to nickel. Just layman's terms, that's what Juszczyk does as a matchup, essentially. And Taysom can absolutely do that. And we've seen what he's even did last season. Like when they had to God, you Taysom broke the emergency glass, and Taysom does what Taysom does, right?
Yeah.
So excited to see, hopefully that expands. And I also hope that means that, listen, I'll say this. I know that there was a want, or potentially they wouldn't have shed any tears if Taysom were to get traded or whatever this offseason. I don't know if him being the full, potentially being that Juszczyk role takes that away. And yeah. I do think if there's a certain coach in Denver and he puts, he offers a certain, it would have to make sense. But if he offered a draft pick for Taysom that was I don't know, fourth ish, maybe, I would lean to think that Taysom would more than likely be traded off the team just because they don't love the idea of paying him $10 million. And
exactly.
Now if he's going to be fullback, even in Juszczyk role, he'd be paying a $10 million fullback, right?
Exactly.
What it boils down to. Jeremy said, so Adam, Taysom can throw. So wouldn't that make them keep extra safeties? No, because in his role, he would literally be playing he would be a fullback. So he would be keeping the defense honest and they would be in base. The fact that he can throw, that's a trick play that's
right. Yeah. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
They would rather him throw, honestly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they absolutely would. Talk about the cornerbacks, the Marshawn Lattimore thing. So it's funny. What was it? A couple of days ago, I think DA or Mickey or who, I don't know who it was, saying that they were moving forward with Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
And then it's if what do you have to move forward from if there was never any intention of trading him? What do you have to move forward from? Right. I'll say, it comes out today. I think someone asked DA the question of do they expect does he expect Marshawn to be on the team week one? DA said yes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Trying to parse my words of how I word things. I think the chances of Marshawn Lattimore being on the team, I would say right now it's probably like 60-65%. When you were on like 4 or 5 months ago, I thought like it was an 80% chance he'll get traded. And I think the reason why it's multi-pronged, right? First, as you tweeted, and we've talked about on this podcast, the Saints, I want to give them credit. Like people always act like we're like negative towards them, but like we give them credit when the credit is due. They didn't treat this Marshawn situation like they treated the CeeDee Doo situation, which that was a trade out of spite, right? That was an emotional, irrational trade. It made no sense. They didn't try to survey the league. They just, whatever they could get for him, they got for him, and that was it. And they were done. That's terrible asset management, right? I don't know who stepped in and said, listen, if we are considering trading Marshawn, we need to be logical about it. And we need to first, if we're trading Marshawn, right? They have held to that asking price pretty consistently through like the offseason. I want to say probably even till now. And I want like, that is something to like, because I would like the concern was that they were going to get like a third or a fourth from Marshawn. Then that's a riot, bro. Like that, then we got to talk. So they were able to hold firm. But then what happened? The draft happened. So a lot of the teams that either wanted or needed cornerbacks addressed that in the draft. Eagles, Lions, other teams got them later in rounds, what have you. And so now pretty much the teams that wanted corners more likely have young corners. Now, two other things, right? If you're a team that wants a corner, you have Xavien Howard out there who's a free agent, woman beater, and you have Stephon Gilmore who's out there as a free agent, right? So if you're a team that wants a corner, in terms of just asset-wise, I'd rather just potentially just sign a corner than giving up a draft pick for a corner, you know, what have you. So all these things have played into why that percentage of Marshawn being on the team has increased. I do think if something happens in training camp in the NFL, if there's like a big team that has like a big loss at cornerback or a team that feels like they're very, very close, I feel The Saints are still open to moving Marshawn. I want to be clear with that. They're still open to moving him. I just think the way they've gone about it has been commendable. I will give it, it has been commendable.
Exactly. And just the fact that they're putting it out there like, hey, he's a part of the team, that actually helps the trade value.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just puts it out there like, look, you're going to have to come correct if you're going to have to make that move. You're going to have to convince us if you want him. You know what I'm saying? And that only helps the trade value. You know what I'm saying? If say some, you know, the Bills cornerbacks get hurt or, you know,
Ravens. Not the Bills, bro. Come on. I don't want it.
You know, the Lions, or I know they drafted a young guy, they signed some guys, but you just never know. You got teams right. that are right in the heat that want to go, you know, take that next step and win that Super Bowl. You know, Lattimore could be that final piece. And look, I don't want him to go. I want him on the team this year. I feel like the secondary, particularly the cornerbacks, is the strength of the team right now. Like, it's the one unit you can look at and be like, chef kiss, flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good top to bottom. Let's keep that. You know what I'm saying? At least one season. You know what I'm saying? Because the money is like already, the salary cap and all that with Lattimore, that shit's already on the books. Like, you're not saving a big amount of money by moving him and all that stuff. You're still going to have to carry cap hits and all that. So what are we getting out of it? You know what I'm saying? unless it's like a pick that you can't, like if it's a, you know, high second round pick or first round pick, you okay, you know, then we gotta listen. But other than that, you know, let's not even let's roll with it, man.
One other little thing. So we're speaking about the strength of the room, or the cornerback room. So we've talked about, we had this conversation on a previous podcast talking about, you know, out of the ones in terms of Marshawn, Lalonde, and Adebo, who we would, you know, trade and move up or move on from one. I would not be surprised, again, be careful how I parse this, I would not be surprised if the team emphasizes trying to make something work with Adebo. It maybe the odd man out when we're talking about all the secondary room, maybe could potentially be Alante. That's all I'll say. Because if you think about it, they're first going to play Kool-Aid. They're going to try Kool-Aid at the slot, right? If they try him at the slot, the only position that Alante really has to play right now is a slot. And if Kool-Aid is able to play that position and play it potentially well, there isn't even a lot of space, like spots on the team that Alante could feasibly play. I still contend it would make a lot of sense to try him at safety just to see. But it seems like the team and people keep saying, well, Alante doesn't want to play safety. I don't give two shits what Alante wants to play. Like, if I'm the team, I would see it to see how it would look. But if Kool-Aid comes in, he plays well at slot, bro. Like, I don't know where Alante plays, which is wild, kind of thinking back to his rookie season.
Yeah, but, you know, for him, you know, at the very least, just be depth. Even if it's just that, you know, just be depth. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having depth at corner. You know, players like Keenan, I remember like Keenan Lewis, he was depth for the Steelers for years.
Yeah.
Before really starting, you know, that's all right. You know, and he's just going to compete to get on the field. I've heard like last year, he didn't really buy into the nickel move until like late in the season, you know? So I don't know how much of it is coach stuff. I don't know how much of it is player stuff, you know, but man, look, they got some dogs at the cornerback spot, bro.
They do, bro.
We're going to see with Kool-Aid, bro. Like, we don't know. Like, from me, from the tape, yeah, sure, I think he should be good. But, you know, he's not even on the field right now. He's still recovering from the foot injury.
Right.
So, you know, I think these things will work itself out.
Getting caught up on the chat. So, Dante said, wouldn't it be great if we don't trade Taysom and Marshawn? Yes, it would be absolutely fantastic. Ron, Saints defense is going to be predicated on the pass rush. We need to get after Cousins and Mayfield. Yes. JJ asked, so given the change in behavior that you perceive, do you think Jeff Ireland is wielding more power behind the scenes? I don't. I don't know this for sure. I don't know what led to the change of the draft room this season, of essentially Jeff Ireland getting to make the picks and having kind of final say and call as opposed to Mickey Loomis the last two seasons. Maybe Mickey Loomis kind of came to a realization of like, man, I've been stinking it up. Right? Like, maybe, right? My bad. Like, maybe I need to like not make the picks. I don't know. But like, I was talking about this, I think, in our Discord. Just if you just go back and think about the last couple of second round draft picks the Saints have had, bro, it is looking just dog. It's not even like, but it's like Warner, Alante, Foskey. Am I forgetting somebody? Yeah, right. And it's like those players are like, Foskey doesn't even like exist, but like with Alante and Warner, I think it's crazy because their highs, what we've seen from them, have been like very, very good highs. And you see why the team thought highly to draft them in the second round, but then their lows are like, is that a starter? That's what it's been with them lately.
Foskey is huge, man. We'll see, bro. But I gotta see something from this dude. Because he has a clear path to, you know, get on the field. They need pass rush badly.
Need.
Chase Young, you know, he's still recovering, but apparently, you know, he's on track with his recovery and everything, but that's a recovery. We don't know.
Is he on track with this?
Let me stop talking about a neck, bro.
I know, Ryan.
That's why people, when people were like talking about like they're just like downplaying it when this, like when it happened, we were like, it's a neck injury, bro. It's a neck injury.
And even without the neck, you know, he's a player that, I mean, let's face it, you know what I'm saying? He's been traded from his original drafted team, let go from the team that traded for him. So it's not, you know, he's a player that's trying to grasp for his career. So
he is. Like, which team, sometimes can lead to like you see the best, right?
Yeah, potentially. Absolutely.
But he, I mean, he has to get healthy first. Let's see. Dante said, Jacksonville seems like the most logical destination if they want him bad enough regarding Marshawn.
Man, I hate to see Lattimore. Man, come on, bro. No disrespect.
Alfred says, I think Adebo get a bag somewhere else next year, and we have no choice but to keep Laddie and Kool-Aid on the outside. I would disagree with that, because I think the team really wants to try to sign Adebo. Matt Andrews, thoughts on the defensive line? Linebackers and DBs look nice, but if we get no pressure, I fear we may be getting dotted up a lot in games. It's crucial, man. It's going to be crucial. Brian Breesy, like him taking like that, to quote, take something from around, you know, around the NFL, him making the leap is crucial for the defensive line. And just like Ryan was saying, can we see something out of Isaiah Foskey? Can we see something out of Peyton Turner? We saw a big creep with Carl Granderson. He took like a little step, or not a big step. He's like, he took a leap last season. Is that like all that he is able to leap from, or is he able to grow even more from that? Cam Jordan should be healthier, even though he's not healthy right now out there. He's still recovering. Like, we all know, like, it's such an important, like, everyone knows how crucial the defensive line is and the rush is. But even in theory, let's say like the ends and the defensive edges can't give pass rush, if they can get like consistent interior pass rush, like it just needs to be consistent, like somewhat. But like what we saw last season, where quarterbacks be out there reading manuscripts and just and just pat, nah, no.
Cook up the pressure. The Saints, I think last year they were like the bottom fifth in the league in pressures and quarterback hits and stuff like that. But they were able to affect the quarterback in key spots because DA was able to kind of cook some stuff up.
Right.
You know, so it might be another one of them seasons, because it's going to be like a back-to-front defense. They should be strong in the secondary. We'll see with safety. Safety is one of the positions. They got Tyran. You got
Jordan Howden.
Kid's name, Jordan Howden. They brought back Abrams. Feel like there's another player that could be gotten. There's a lot of safeties out there on the market. I know people keep saying Simmons. Don't see that happening.
But throw Alante back there, bro. Just throw Alante back there.
Why not, man?
Ron said Willie Gay will be a big help. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I 100% also believe Willie Gay is coming for Pete Warner's spot, and more than likely will Pete Warner's spot pretty easily.
And if you go back and listen to that Greg Cassell episode we had last week, he talked a lot about Willie Gay and you know, what he could bring in the defense. So it's I like that move. I like that Willie Gay move. And even if Pete Warner is still on the field, expect to see Willie Gay used as like a blitzer and a, you know, it's kind of like a, just a, like a joker.
Like
and,
a, you know, like a, like a, like chess a Ellerby.
Ellerby.
A little Ellerby guy.
Ellerby.
Come a long way. Demon Tom Slime says, would be happy with 3 to 5 sacks from Turner and Foskey. Is that like each or from both of them together? It's, the crazy thing is, I would be happy with 3 to 5 sacks from both of them together, bro. Like,
crazy. That's crazy.
That's like 1.5 sack each, right?
Bro, Peyton Turner, like 5 sacks from Peyton Turner, that would be huge for him, bro.
It would justify the being on the boat, like looking away, just looking stoic, bro, and like no curves in the world, bro. Hey. Quick talk on the quarterback. So quarterback talk. So it looks like just from the reports, also make sure you're reading the like those the write-ups from Ross Jackson, from John Hendricks, just stellar people. The legend of Jake Haener, is it back? And I'm gonna say this, and I've said this so many times on this podcast. The number of people in the building last season that went OTAs and, you know, mandatory mini camps and training camp was happening. There was this strong, I'm not saying the entire front office, but there were people in the building that felt that the best quarterback that was performing in these practices was Jake Haener. And that was when he was going, like it was him, Jameis, and Derek Carr. I don't know what happened for him to fall from graces. I don't know if it was a suspension. I don't know if they saw his game against Chargers. I don't know what it was. But the team, and it's so weird that it feels like this coaching staff seems to like sour on players like immediately, bruh. And once they sour on them, like it is like done. It's weird. Done. It's weird. But you talk about a player who was like hand tailored to run Clint Kubiak's system. Like, I'm not saying Jake Haener is going to be Brock Purdy, but like the similarities of how they played in college are very, very, very similar. To see him have like, again, it's one practice, right? But to see him get like positive practices and positive pub from practice today doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not at all, man. Man, he's about to roll over. That dude, everybody that talks about him, he's a gritty type player. You know, he's gonna bring it, man. So, I mean, I love it. I love the competition between him, Rattler, Carr. It just makes the Saints even better. And if the Saints were to move away from Carr at some point, hopefully, they got options, you know. They got options.
Yeah, bro, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not trying to take too much into it. It seems like one also, I think Ross Jackson stated that the player to like look out for to have a breakout season was A.T. Perry.
Mm.
But we saw it last season when he got a chance. When he got a chance towards the end of the season last season, he made plays. The fact you keep saying he had 12 catches, I'm like, man, did he just have 12 catches? Like every time you say that, it surprises me. But like, cause his impact felt like it was more than 12 catches.
Oh yeah. I saw a tweet today that like his fantasy points per catch or something like that was like one of the highest in the league or something like that. I don't care about that stuff, but I'm just saying like, he's a dude, like don't sleep on him. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of people that kind of like don't mention him when they talk about the wide receivers. I'm like, man, that dude, he could come in and really make an impact. You know what I'm saying? Really make an impact. On a pass game.
Absolutely, you can. Matt Andrews said Foskey and Turner ain't getting no 3 to 5 sacks.
Judging from history, I don't know.
What else? I think there's one maybe. I didn't watch any of it, but our dude Dante did. And you've seen one Derek Carr presser, you've seen them all, bro. But like Dante was just talking about like how like he just made like all these like hand gestures and just said like a whole bunch of nothing. And he might throw the rock up real quick, bro. Like, Barron Andrews, is there any way you can see them bumping Carr this season? My answer to that, Matt, is who gets to make the final call? Like if it's Clint Kubiak, then I think, and if they're really going head first in with this being Clint's offense, and if Clint tells Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis, the player best to run my offense is Jake Haener or Spencer, whatever, then I think maybe there's a chance. Other than that, man, I would probably say no. I would probably say no. What's going to ask? Oh, going back to the Derek Carr thing. So, Tina Howes tweeted that, like, and it just annoyed the crap out of me, Ryan, because he was just talking about, like, oh, yeah, like, he just didn't anticipate, like, he was, like, unsettled and like, his kids, or I could just, and I'm just, so all I quote tweeted, and I've been, you know, having little Twitter squabbles the rest of the evening. I said, well, man, Baker Mayfield went through the exact same situation that Derek Carr did, and he signed 2 weeks after.
Baker Mayfield, like, went to the Rams on, like, a Tuesday and then I think he lit the Raiders up on, like, a
Thursday, nigga. Just tired of the excuses. I'm like, oh, he out here just snake oil selling it, bro.
You can go pull an interview from Derek Carr every offseason for the last 11 years, and it's something like that. It's going to be something like that.
Why did Raiders fans jump in my mentions and say this? They were like, well, yep, this sounds about right. We've heard this before.
We've heard this before.
Anyway,
it's unbelievable.
This is also not like, listen, I want to see the Derek Carr that, like, people thought potentially should have been in the MVP conversation, however long ago that was, which was a very long time ago now. Please.
Like I said, I would be happy with if you took the statistical Derek Carr from last year, which was, you know, mid-level quarterbacking, but it was solid statistically. But give me better, like, game tape, like, not the garbage time touchdowns, but, like, touchdowns that actually matter and yards that actually matter and stuff like that. If you gave me that with the same statistics from last year, I'll be fine. Like, okay. Like, I'd be okay with it. You know what I'm saying? Because that'll be at least winning football, especially if you got, you know, a good defense playing well and a run game and all that stuff. But I don't, just miss me with all the excuses, man. I don't.
Please.
I get it. You got family. You got to move family. I get all that. But every goddamn player in the league dealing with that shit. Everybody, bro.
I forgot who tweeted. I don't know if it was Ross. I don't know if it was John. But the whole, or that someone said that Hawker, undrafted free agent tight end, was very active today. Is this just stereotypical, just overhyped, undrafted free agent at tight end, Bray?
It's not just overhyped, man. He's the highest paid UDFA on the team right now. They gave him like $235,000 guaranteed. I don't know what that ranks in the league, but it's definitely in the top of the league. So they obviously, like, wanted him. You know what I'm saying? They wanted that guy. So we'll see. We'll see what he could do. I mean, he looks the part, but it's just going to be, you know, he's just going to have to do it on the field. And attendance is one thing I was paying attention to. Mm-hmm. Lattimore, AK weren't there. Not surprising. AK typically doesn't do the OTA things. Lattimore, he's kind of wishy-washy. I figured Lattimore wouldn't come. I just thought it was interesting. I kind of would have liked to see AK there, but it doesn't matter. Like, it did. I just would have liked to see him with the new offense. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't affect my thoughts about what this is going to do in the season or nothing like that. But I thought the attendance was surprisingly better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was. It was. Dante said Jamal Williams wasn't there either. I don't know. Maybe there was a Pokemon convention.
I don't care. The nerve of him. Like, the nerve.
Does he?
He had a touchdown last year, and you just going
last week. Does he make the team?
Does he?
Well, I mean, we got time to talk about our 53-man roster later down the line. It's just I don't know.
I know they got some other running backs, but I just can't name them right now.
I'm thinking of one. The guy that Mitch wanted us to talk, James Robinson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Anyway, that was us. Ron said Kubiak has been on the losing side of Derek Carr's comebacks. He likes Carr. If Kamara doesn't get it together, he will be running back too. Who is this guy, Ryan?
Ryan Mexico, who is this guy?
Can we get someone to trace this man's IP address and it pop just pop up right next to him on airline? Ooh, that would be some shit, bro. I'd be like, gotcha. I'd be like, go home, Mickey. Like, can you not do that at home, brother? Don't look, you in the building. You in the team's Wi-Fi. Anyway.
One of the cars.
Bro, it's either going to be Northern California or Airline Drive. One of the two. Anyhow, there you go. There you have it. Recapped OTAs in about less than an hour. And again, Ryan and I, we weren't there, so we are parsing together the reports, whether it's from Catherine Terrell, whether it's from John Hendricks, Ross Jackson, all the people who cover the Saints, to kind of be able to give our opinions on what they saw, right? So I just want to be clear in terms of, like, this is not coming from us, from our observations. Hopefully the Saints figure it out for Irvine, so I can actually give actual observations from being at training camp. That would be lovely, but... We shall see, because we know the logistics is difficult, because that venue doesn't accommodate fans or something. I don't know. Anyway, thank y'all for the people who were on at what, midnight, the true sickos, who was like, it's like 12:30 central time. Thank y'all for being on and joining us so late. We apologize for it being late. It's just what it is with our work schedule and just how we do things sometimes. So typically we don't go this late, but we had to, so that it is what it was. Also, so yeah. So if you missed this episode, it's okay. It's going to be up podcast format tomorrow, so everyone can listen to it. But thank y'all so much. We appreciate you. We'll probably be back sometime. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I will say, it's exciting to have football and have, like, even just seeing pictures and seeing plays and seeing, it's exciting, man, because we have mandatory mini camp, and then, like, it's done until training camp. So hopefully we will definitely be recapping some more OTAs and things like that, because it's better to do that, because then we have things to actually talk about. So we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. With that, we're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.